Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Dean's off today. Dean's Entertainment Report is sponsored by jeffbuysyourhouse.com. So instead of Dean, we are talking to Alex Zalbin, host of Comic Book Club. How are you, Alex? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year right back to you, Wendy.
And happy Halloween from months ago when I kept telling you that.
Always happy Halloween.
Yes. All right.
Looking forward to this year's.
Yes, I can't wait. All right. All I'm going to say is I'm not caught up on Stranger Things. And I don't like the way they did things. They were releasing episodes on various holidays, including the finale that was unleashed on New Year's Eve. I am not caught up, but can we talk Stranger Things without spoilers?
I think we can.
Okay,
so the
good.
Finale, the last episode of the show ever, premiered on New Year's Eve at 8 p.m. It was a plus 2 hours long episode, but we don't have exact rating figures or anything like that, but it premiered on Netflix and also in movie theaters. The interesting thing about the movie theaters, not to get too wonky about it, but because of rights and residuals, they couldn't charge for tickets, but they could do concession waivers. So basically people buy popcorn and soda to go see it. And if you take that into account, again, this is estimated, it was the number one movie for New Year's, or the number one thing in theaters for New Year's. It made $25 million, $30 million, something like that, reportedly. So, huge hit. Again, we don't have the streaming numbers or anything like that. But there's been, I'll say, again, without spoiling anything, a mixed reception online. But
really?
I think that's par for the course for a finale. You're not going to give everybody everything they want. For my purposes, I'll say my kids were very angry about it.
But
I liked how it wrapped up. I thought it was very emotional. There is a very long coda at the end where they tie up everything. And again, this was without spoiling anything, but the Duffer brothers who created the show have said very specifically they wanted to make sure that they wrapped up everything from their perspective in a satisfying way in the show. There are going to be spinoffs. There are going to be other things happening down the road, but they are done with the characters. They are done with Hawkins. They're done with the Upside Down. Whatever happens next is going to be something new.
Well, that is fascinating to me. I'm a fan. I think we're caught up to, I think we saw episode 3 or maybe 4. And I'm liking what I see. Just for people who haven't started the fifth season yet, there is a nice, long, very good recap to start you off. Because, I mean, when's the last time we saw Stranger Things? It's been a few years.
It's been a few years, and even more than that, the whole five seasons took almost a decade. It's actually going to be the 10th anniversary of Stranger Things later this year.
Jeez.
And these kids, you know,
are not kids anymore.
They're not. They're adults. Some of them are married. Some of them have kids themselves. So it's worth a reminder to get back in there. And my big overall impression of the show, I would say, just looking back over these five seasons, is it went from this really big word-of-mouth surprise hit in the first season to this final season, it's looking back at Stranger Things. You know, you can't escape the behemoth that has become in culture with products, with Netflix has their own Netflix house experiences where you can go through Stranger Things escape room mazes and their Halloween horror nights and a Broadway play and all these things. So it went from, you know, this little surprise that was paying tribute to the 80s. And I always thought, you know, when it came on, I thought of it as, oh, it's that Winona Ryder show. That's not
right.
What it is anymore.
No.
You know, it's its big own thing. And culture has changed as well over the 10 years to match pace with it.
I have to tell you, the Demogorgon is the scariest, grossest creature I have ever laid eyes on.
It's pretty gross, and they have continued to go gross even through the final season and even the last episode where they're adding new disgusting things to gross everybody out. The Demogorgon effects, I think, have gotten better over the years. That's one of the things that I'd throw out, because I remember watching the first season loving it. It feeling so real and grounded, except for the CGI Demogorgon that was like a little wonky.
Yeah.
But by the final season, there's more of them and they look better and they continue to be a terrifying, iconic monster.
That is it. A terrifying, iconic monster. You hit the nail on the head. Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt. Mark Carman is here, and we are chatting with Alex Zalbin, host of Comic Book Club. And Alex, I was talking off the air this morning with Mark about the ping pong movie that he saw.
Yes.
And you've seen it as well. Mark, you loved it, right?
I did. Marty Supreme, you were in there?
Did you like it?
I loved Marty Supreme. It's great. I mean, for people who don't know, this is directed by Josh Safdie, who's one of the Safdie brothers. They directed Uncut Gems, the extremely stressful movie that starred Adam Sandler that came out a couple of years ago. And this one, it's a bit of a swerve to call it a ping pong movie, because it is about Timothée Chalamet playing this ping pong wunderkind. But without spoiling too much, the beginning of the movie is about ping pong. The end of the movie is about ping pong. The middle of the movie is something else entirely. And you just gotta go see it in theaters, because Timothée Chalamet, incredible in it. The cast is great as well. Gwyneth Paltrow returned to acting for it. She's really good. And there's a woman named Odessa Azion, who I've been following her career for a while. And she's been in, frankly, not great projects, but always been great in them. And finally, she is great in a great project. So, well, we're seeing. It's not going to be streaming for a while either. So if you do want to see it, and I highly recommend you see it, check out Marty Supreme in theaters now.
Yeah, so just for the record, because Wendy's like, I don't really like ping pong.
I know, I said that to you.
You don't need to like ping pong at all to enjoy the movie. But it's also, it's not a comfortable watch. You are squirming in your seat the whole way. He's not I wouldn't call him a likable character. And I think you have to suspend some level of reality, but maybe this guy lived that crazy of a life, although it says it's loosely based on Marty Reisman, who, you know, was this dude, but not maybe this crazy. I don't know. It's pretty out there at different points in time.
Yeah, it's extremely, extremely loosely. I think the thing that they used is there was a real guy who played ping pong back in the day and then kind of swerved off from there. But yeah, like you're saying, it is absolutely wild to the middle as he goes on this caper that, again, I won't spoil here. It's also a long movie. It's about 2.5 hours. But again, it's just so propulsive. Timothée Chalamet is so engrossingly watchable. And I'll be honest, like, I haven't loved him in everything, but this, he is utterly fantastic.
I didn't know how they were going to land the plane, and I won't ruin anything, but the ending was not what I expected. I'll just say it like that.
Yeah, it's great.
All right. I love Timothée Chalamet because I love to look at him, but he really is a good actor. And Mark, you were saying off the air how great he was in this. I loved him in the Bob Dylan movie. And this is, you said, better and just better acting.
If I put on the Siskel and Ebert hat, if I had to rate between the two, I just thought his character in this was a little more challenging. Not that the Dylan thing was easy. And
right.
I'm not a professional acting coach or understanding it fully, but this role was super intense, and he 100% pulled it off.
I read somewhere that Gwyneth Paltrow, or Goop, as my boys call her, said something to Timothée Chalamet on set, like, you know, if you're really having some problems with your acne, I do make a skincare thing. And he's allegedly said, are you kidding me? This is makeup. So yeah. I don't know if that's true, but I read that.
If you like to look at him, just a word of warning, he does have very purposefully combination skin that is makeup. Definitely also has this gross, wispy mustache going on the entire time and greasy hair and everything. He's a gross person, and he's supposed to look kind of gross.
Good for him.
But at Paltrow, always very funny in real life, I think.
He looks like he smells. She looks beautiful.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is Marty Supreme. Go see it at the theaters because it is not streaming yet. All right. One of my favorite shows in the world, because I'm a hypochondriac and I love medical dramas, The Pitt. It's back, right? Or it's coming back.
It's coming back very soon. The Pit, for those who don't know, is a medical drama from a lot of the folks behind ER. It also stars Noah Wiley, who was in ER back in the day. Now he's the head of the ER instead of the up-and-comer in there. And it's set in a sort of pseudo-real-time format where every hour of the show is the hour of a shift at this very intense ER in Pittsburgh. It's coming back for a second season on HBO Max on January 8th. There's going to be 15 episodes total, one a week, so it's not bingeable, but I highly recommend going back and binging the first season, because not only is it an engrossing drama, it's not to slag off anything else, but it's not Grey's Anatomy where everybody's hooking up in the closets all the time. It's a more realistic look at American healthcare. They try to present things very factually, and as you mentioned, as a hypochondriac, without spoiling anything about the new season, there are multiple things where I'm like, oh my God, I gotta look. Do I have that? I have that. This is gonna happen to me. So fantastic show, great cast, and it just built as a hit over the first season. So go back, watch the first 15 episodes, get caught up before it returns on HBO Max on January 8th.
And Bryan Cranston's daughter, Taylor Dearden, she plays Dr. Melissa King, and she is a neurodivergent doctor, mm-hmm. and she is in real life, and she's really relating to this character, and she's great in this.
It's really pretty fascinating to hear her talk about it, because I don't know how many listeners are familiar with the concept of masking, but it's basically a way for people who are neurodivergent to present themselves as, this is a terrible way of describing it, but as normal,
right,
in real life. And the way that she's explained it is she's not really acting on the show. She's just dropping her mask and being her true self there. And she is absolutely wonderful. The whole cast,
yeah,
I love them, but she is clearly a standout.
And speaking of Bryan Cranston, there's going to be a Malcolm in the Middle reunion. Everybody but Dewey is back in the show. And Jane Kaczmarek, so funny. And I'm so glad Bryan Cranston is being a part of this, because, you know, he's done a few things since then. And I just love that he's going back to, you know, some of his roots.
If you hear him talk about it, he loves Malcolm in the Middle. He loves the cast. He loves doing it. He is a funny guy, even though he was on Breaking Bad. And as you mentioned, this is going to be a very short revival season. It's called Malcolm in the Middle, Life Still Unfair. And there's only 4 30-minute episodes. They're all going to release April 10th on, I believe, Disney Plus and Hulu. So yeah, if you're a fan of the show, it's nice to have it back. It's nice to have most of the cast back, and you can look forward to that coming to streaming very soon.
And you know I love Seth Rogen, and the studio, Bryan Cranston did a crazy role in that. A crazy character.
God. He's wild. He's probably going to be back, I believe, for the second season of the show. We don't know exactly when that's going to premiere. Probably sometime this year on Apple TV Plus. But yeah, that was a fantastic first season about a wild Hollywood movie studio. Great satire in there. Really looking forward to the second season of that.
He was awesome in Argo. I don't know if anyone thinks of him that way. He was,
I don't remember him.
He was like the senior official that was trying to guide the main character who's the Boston guy who played the lead.
Ben Affleck?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cranston was amazing in that movie. He's just like that. And also, by the way, Wendy, for me and you, perhaps on the 50 plus crowd here, his career popped off later, which I really like.
Mm-hmm. I know. There's hope for us, Mark.
Fingers crossed over here.
All right. And Alex, finally, speaking of older actors, although he didn't wait to start acting till he was older, Harrison Ford, Han Solo, is going to be back in a great Apple TV Plus show called Shrinking.
Yes, very excited about this as well. If you haven't checked this out, this stars Jason Segel alongside Harrison Ford, Jessica Williams, and a wonderful ensemble cast about a group of psychologists who work together. Jason Segel plays a psychologist who kind of like violates ethical barriers to connect with his patients. But really, it's just a wonderful hangout comedy that's really kind. Harrison Ford, it's revealed that he... is not doing that well health-wise. And he's going to be bonding with a new cast member this upcoming third season, Michael J. Fox, which is really wonderful to see him back on screen.
And you guys, he is not looking good, and he knows that, and yet is still taking this part. I admire him so much.
Well, and part of it is he's trying to raise awareness about MS as well, and that's
Parkinson's.
Wonderful to see.
Parkinson's. Excuse me. No, that's okay.
Yeah, and that's coming back January 28th on Apple TV.
And I am a proponent of getting your mind healthy, and it really is a good show about shrinking, not, you know, cold weather and going in water, George Costanza.
Yeah, and if you're missing Ted Lasso, which actually is shockingly coming back for a fourth season probably later this year as well, it comes from a lot of the same people and has a lot of the same just sort of kind comedy feel. So I highly recommend getting caught up on that.
Woof. All right. Thank you so much, Alex. Happy New Year. And I can't wait to talk to you again. In the meantime, we can find you as the host of Comic Book Club at comicbookclublive.com. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Wendy. Happy New Year.
All right. We'll talk to you again.